Last week, I started a series in the book of Luke, chapter 1. It's called Responding to the Birth of Christ. And I said that we would be going through a few weeks of this because I wanted to look at, through the scriptures in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, about the people who responded to the birth of Jesus. And I said that a number of people responded, and we last week we looked at Mary and we looked at Joseph, because they were two given to us, I believe, as examples and pictures, if you will. Mary, what a picture of faith and of humble receiving the word of the Lord to her. She was, as we studied last week and looking in Luke chapter 1, as this virgin girl who, I don't know if you keep up with the news, but today, if she were to be a virgin and got pregnant in Afghanistan or Pakistan, it would be no questions, beloved. You're dead on the spot. I mean, as soon as they get word, I mean, it's over. It's over. That's the way it is. And for this girl, this young virgin to just humbly submit herself and said, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." She just laid her life down, said, "I receive and I believe the word that the angel was giving to her." This, in light of Old Testament matriarchs, if you will, Sarah, whom the Lord came to Abraham and Sarah, and the Lord's talking with Abraham in the tent door, and he said, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He said, "She's in the tent." He says, "Well, I'm going to return to her according to the time of life, and she's going to bring forth a son." And the Bible says, Sarah lied and says, "Shall I have pleasure of my Lord that I'm going to bring forth a son?" And the Lord turned around and said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And Sarah denied laughing, but she did laugh. But the Lord said, "Why did you laugh?" Then he said this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, you old. Yeah, you've been barren. But is that too hard for me? That's what God said. Okay? And so when you look at this giant of faith, if you will, Sarah's in Hebrews chapter 11, and, you know, she questioned whether or not God could give her a son. But Mary just said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." She didn't question it. She didn't, you know, doubt it. Not only that, in the New Testament, you have Zechariah as an example of unbelief. If Sarah at that point was an example of doubting and questioning whether or not, you know, God could do this, Zechariah, the angel, shows up to him and says, "Your wife, or rather your prayers have been heard. God has heard your prayer, and your wife is going to bear a son." And Zechariah turns to the angel of the Lord in the temple of the Lord while he's offering incense. Beloved, if there's any place where you're going to have a manifestation, you would imagine, where the Shekinah is just on the other side of the tent. Come on. It's just on the other side. The Shekinah glory, where the ark is supposed to be. And he says to the angel, "Well, how am I going to know this?" That's what he said to the angel. And the angel said, "Well, I'll give you a sign. Here's the sign. You're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak. That's how you know that my words are true." And when Zechariah come out of the temple, he come out, and there's the sign. "Your wife is going to bring forth a son." So when you have these backdrops and you put Mary up against it, and the angel shows up to her, now she wasn't barren, and she wasn't too old. But she just said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She's an example of faith and belief for us in the scripture. Amen? So just as he did the impossible in her, God said, "I want to do the impossible in you." And beloved, for you and I, it's already been done. Christ has been birthed in you. Come on. Amen. Paul said to the Galatian church, he says, "Oh, for whom I travail in labor pains until Christ be formed in you." Talking about the Galatians. And then Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So the miracle has already been done for you and I, amen? We believed as Mary believed, and I encouraged us, keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. Then we looked at Joseph as a picture of obedience to the Lord and how he obeyed God and took to him this wife who was pregnant. And he received the word of the Lord and did exactly as the angel said. As soon as the angel said to do, he did what God asked of him. And so he was our picture and example of obedience. I said that we would go through as many at this point as we possibly can. The next in our scripture selection, we started in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm going to, we covered the first few verses of that. And then we come down to John. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and then we have the whole section of scripture there. So I'm going to start in verse 39, because that's where we would have left off from last week, and it says this. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, she probably didn't greet Zacharias, because Zacharias, he still can't talk. He's just dumb as he can be. I mean, so that's just a joke. But it says, and it happened, she greeted into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." The baby leapt in her womb for joy. Now, I said that we're talking about responding to the birth of Christ. Mary believed, Joseph obeyed, but John leapt. So today we're going to be looking at John leapt and Elizabeth prophesied. Okay? Why did John leap? Why did the baby leap? Well, just in case I don't get it clear enough, let me say it to you straight. He leapt in response to the presence of Jesus in Mary. He leapt in response to the presence of Jesus in Mary. How did he know Jesus was in Mary? Okay? Everybody agree? He left in response to the presence. How did John know that Jesus was in Mary? Well, it's very simple. Are you in Luke chapter 1? Anybody in Luke chapter 1? Someone go back up to Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And this is what you'll read. It says, we have it. "For he will be great," this is speaking of John, "for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Now, let me digress a little bit, and we'll come back to that. We understand that babies are affected in the womb by what goes on outside the womb. Got a couple nods. Let me say that again. Babies are affected in the womb by what goes on outside the womb, especially in the mother. Especially what's going on in the mother. I looked at earlymoments.com and it says this: by 18 weeks, a baby can hear the sound of your heartbeat and loud noises from the outside world. 18 weeks. How far along is that, ladies? How many months? 4.5 months? Elizabeth is 6 months here. She's 6 months. Okay? So this little stat is telling us that babies can hear the heartbeat of the mother and loud outside noises around it. By 25 weeks, he or she can begin to distinguish the voices. Listen, distinguish, which means tell the difference between the voices of those closest to him or her, especially those of his or her parents. So 25 weeks, how far along is that? About 6 months? 6 months or so? So we know now what the scriptures was telling all the way back then, that babies can discern. They can hear things going on the outside. Now then, from Genesis chapter 25 and verse 22, that's the passage of scripture where Rebecca now, who was barren, she was barren for 20 years. Isaac prayed for her so that she would get pregnant, and she did. And so she's carrying twins, but there's wrestling in her womb. I mean, there's all this stuff going on, and I mean, it's hard. And so finally she says, Lord, if everything is all right, why am I like this? And the Lord said to her in Genesis 22, there are two nations in your womb. He didn't call them children. He said, there are two nations in your womb. Okay? And so what we see there is that the Lord, remember, it was Esau and Jacob. Right? Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. And we see how that, you know, their destinies were set before they were even born. Same in the case of John the Baptist, of John, who was going to speak for Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus. His destiny was set before he was born. It prophesied that he's going to neither drink strong drink or wine. He's going to be a Nazarene, all of these things. Have the vow of a Nazarite on it. All of these things, he was prophesied to be that. Same thing with Esau and Jacob. Before Esau was even born, the scripture says, God said, Esau I have hated, Jacob I have loved. Their destinies were already determined. Remember Jacob, remember what happened when Esau came out, remember their twins, Esau came out of the womb and a hand came out of the womb and grabbed his foot. That was Jacob. Called him a heel grabber is what he was. He was a supplanter. Jacob was one of those types that even in the womb, you can't, your child is who they are in the womb, right? So Jacob's coming out, grabbing, trying to pull Esau back so I can get in front of you, boy. That's what I want to do. And what did Jacob do once he came out? First, he went after the birthright. The birthright is the double portion that goes to the firstborn. And Jacob maneuvered his way, grabbed a hold of Esau's heel, and yanked him back and says, no, that's mine. I'm going to get it. And then after he got the birthright, he went for the blessing. And he did the same thing. So we see that the character of children are set already in the womb. And scripture bears that out. So God revealed to Rebecca what the nature of her children would be. John's destiny, as I said, was set before he was even conceived. The prophetic word that came over him talked about all that he would be and what he would do. As the forerunner, he was to let others know that Jesus was on the way. Okay, so here we are. Mary comes in. John's in Elizabeth's womb. And he can hear some of what's going on the outside. Mary comes in and greets Elizabeth. And at that time, the scripture says, it says that it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, notice the order, that the babe leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The babe leapt, Elizabeth was filled. Now, what I believe happened, I believe that John knew that Jesus was present because of the Holy Spirit. What actually happened, according to verse 15 of Luke 1, was that when he leapt, the reason why John leapt, the first reason is he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in verse 15, he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Simultaneously, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who conceived Jesus in Mary's womb had now filled John. As soon as John got filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, the knowledge came because the Father, Son, and Spirit are one. So as soon as he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, he knows that Jesus is nearby. He knows that Jesus is in the womb of Mary, although he doesn't know who Mary is. So he leaps. And Elizabeth sheds more light on it and says, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. He leapt in my womb for joy. What was John's response to the birth of Jesus? He leapt for joy. He leapt for joy. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3 says, that I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth said, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit now in her, upon her. She says, but why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Fruit of the Holy Spirit in her life. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit are aware of the reality, presence, and joy of Jesus. Now, you've had this happen. I had it just happen a few days ago because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. I was out cleaning carpet, and I was cleaning a house, and the girl who was going to pay, her, I didn't know her mom, they were out doing something, getting ready to help this move along. When they came back to the house, I was on my way. I was done wrapping up the job. And when her and her mother got out of their car and they walked up to me, they said, hi. Okay, that's all. They said, hi. As soon as they said hi, down in here, something said, they're Christians. I mean, you've had that happen before, right? You ever meet a Christian and you know they're Christian? Not because they told you were a Christian. You knew they were a Christian because there was something in you resonating with something in them. I mean, it was just uncanny. I mean, as soon as this young lady smiled, she says, hi. And I said, oh, she's Christian. Oh, they believe us. You know. And so later on, we get to talking and everything, and she shared to me how they went to Centerville. She went to Centerville High School and all of this type of thing. And she says, I'm getting married. And I said, well, congratulations and all this. And then her mother says, yeah, you know, that's her fiance, but they're not living together because we don't do things that way. I said, no, you do it the right way. She says, yeah. And then we got to talking, and finally it came out that they were Christians. And I thought about what happened here with John. You see, the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit in one causes you to recognize the other, right? That's how John knew. See, this is one of the things I cherish most about Christmas. It's not the presents, though that's fine and everything. And you know, I was even in a home just a couple days ago, cleaning some carpet, and this is what I told the woman, though she misunderstood what I said. I said, you have one of the warmest homes that I've been in. She turned around and said, oh, is it that hot in here? And I was like, no, ma'am. I meant inviting, you know, inviting, warm, you know, receiving, you know, like this. And she had her house decorated, I mean, with Christmas bulbs, and there must have been 50 Santas just in the family room. I mean, up on the hearth and on tables. But it was just so warm. I mean, it was just the way she had it decorated. I mean, I said, man, I like this. I could stay here. There was only one problem. There was no Jesus. There was not one Jesus in the hall. And I'm cleaning the upholstery and everything, and I'm looking for Jesus. And I'm, you know, every now and again I had to move this table, which stacked up with Santa Claus, and I'm moving the table, I'm looking for Jesus. Then I had to move this table over here, and I'm looking for Jesus. There was no Jesus in that home. And I thought, wow. And so, I mean, we can get it messed up, right? But what I cherish most about Christmas is this emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Because even as much as the emphasis, without the Holy Spirit, there's no overshadowing and conceiving of Jesus in the womb. Luke chapter 1, verse 20, 67 says this, "Now his father Zacharias, after the Holy Spirit had opened up his mouth, said, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." Was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. You see, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit fills a person. He just doesn't fill a person just for the sake of being there. When you look through the scripture, as in this, in Luke 1:67, it says, after Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesied. In other words, he was filled with the Spirit to do something, to prophesy. I want to encourage you today that you and I are filled with the Spirit to do something, to say something. Amen. And most of the things that you will see in the scriptures have to do with the Holy Spirit filling you and I on order. Most of them are to say something. There's something that God wants to use you and I either to do or to say. So we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, he says, "I want you to pursue love, but also," that's 1 Corinthians 12, "pursue love, but also desire to prophesy. Because when you prophesy, you speak unto exhortation, edification, and comfort to the body, to those who are in the body of Christ." Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," listen, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it regulates what we say. Huh? Come on. When you're on the job and you have some crazy person call you and you want to say something that you probably shouldn't say. Oh, maybe it's not what you say, because the Holy Spirit don't only regulate what you say, but he regulates how you say what you say, right? And so, Holy Spirit, help us. The Holy Spirit filled Peter, and then Peter began to preach the good news to the people. The Holy Spirit has filled you and I to take good news to the people. And there are plenty of people, come on now, there are plenty of people who need to hear good news. The only thing, if I had a little while longer with those people that I met, those Christians, we would have had a word of prayer before we left. Because I love me when you meet Christians out and so forth, to be able to end with, "Can we just pray? Can we have a word of prayer?" You know, and before we turn loose from one another, because it's so wonderful to be edified and encouraged by believers that you meet along the way, because the Lord orders the steps of his beloved. Amen. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 reads this way, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Now remember, John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and Elizabeth were both, she was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. This is why I'm reading these scriptures about being filled, because it says here that when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't stop there. It says this, "And they spoke the word of God with boldness." They spoke the word of God with boldness. And beloved, we need to be able to speak the word of God with boldness, and the Holy Spirit comes to fill you and I so that we can take that word. Come on, in your workplace, in my workplace, we've been there many a time, and come on, but you're all by yourself, see? And so the unsaved, they're carrying on the way they normally carry on, and they say something, right? Or a situation presents itself for you to be a witness for Jesus. Come on, for you to say something and interject something that would change the situation, that would minister Christ's love, and guess what we do? Well, come on. We all been there, right? So, the Holy Spirit comes to fill us with boldness so that we may speak the word. I've shared the story before. Remembered how me and John and a friend John is a friend of mine, were in a Hardee's one day, and we were, me and John, we were street preachers back in the day when we were young. We just go around, we go anywhere, set up on the street corner, just go to preach, open air, come on, and just believe God for people to come by and get saved. And we saw people saved. And so we're in this Hardee's, and there's this group of young people sitting over across the Hardee's. It's about 1 or 2 in the morning. We just got done street preaching, so we went and sat in the Hardee's, get something to eat. And so there's this one young lady in this group of about 10, and it's just me and John. This one group, young lady kept looking at me. Every now and again, our eyes would meet. I was like, yo, you just minding your business, eating the crayon. I said, Kevin, his name is John, but his middle name is Kevin. So I said, Kevin. I said, you see the group? He said, yeah. I said, there's this girl over there. She keeps looking. I said, now, this has been going on for about, I don't know, 5 minutes. I said, the next time she look over here, brother, I feel like it's the Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to go over there and give them the word of the Lord. Come on, how many of you remember when you were young and you were bold and the word of the Lord inside of you? You didn't care what people thought. I mean, you just, come on, man, this is life and death. I'll never forget. She looked up and our eyes met and I said, I'm gone. He said, praying. Poop, gone. Up. We were a team, we were a duo. And I went over to the table. I didn't know that they were of the Baha'i faith. They were of the Baha'i community. There were young people who were, you know, doing whatever. But, man, I just, you know, started sharing the word of God with them. Said, you know, I see you sitting over here and everything. Just wanted to let you know about the love of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just preached the word of God. And Kevin came over, and we just preached as much as they would allow us. And then we went back and sat down and had our meal, and then we went home. And but I remember those days because why? The Holy Spirit fills you and I not so that we could be timid and shy, but he fills us so that we can speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 13, 8 through 11 says, then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. When you read these passages, when you see this phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, it is never all by itself. Never. It is always followed by an action, or there's a fruit or a result of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. John was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he leapt. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she prophesied. And God fills us to carry forth his nature. Amen? At the very least, he fills us. Everyone knows Acts 2 and 4, which says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But they spake. There's a fruit for the Holy Spirit filling you and I. There's something that happens to us. So Paul here in Acts chapter 13 says that he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? And then Paul spoke judgment over him and said, you should not be able to see the sun for a season. He did that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on Paul to discern and deal with demonic activity. The Holy Spirit was upon him to discern and deal with demonic activity. Doesn't stop there, it goes on. Acts chapter 13, verse 52 reads this way, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something about your life? The older you get as a Christian, the more joyful you are becoming. Is that all right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love, joy. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. One of the things God is doing in your life and my life right now is filling us with the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of that being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with joy. In other words, people will come up to you and say, you know what, you're a moody individual. Come on. You know, people will come to you, you know, People come up to you and say, you know, why are you happy? Has anyone ever had someone come up to them and say, why are you happy all the time? Let me see your hand. Come on, this is something to give God praise for. I mean, has someone anybody had that happen to them? Look at these hands. Some people have come up to these people and said, why are you always happy? Because the world knows nothing about joy, so they say happy. Why are you always happy? When they see you, your countenance, and their perception is that you're always, things are always going well with you. They just don't happen to know that your joy is not based upon the things that happen to you, but your joy is based upon the one who fills you. Your joy is based upon the one who lives within you. Well, the Holy Spirit came and filled John so that he would leap for joy at the hearing of Jesus. And then the last one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen, it doesn't stop. Speaking to one another. Here's where we get, if the Holy Spirit, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit will regulate how we speak to one another. Oh my goodness, it's getting close to home. Because one another starts with my spouse. One another starts with my children. One another starts at home. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One who is filled with the Holy Spirit will speak to one another those things that are edifying and encouraging, and that will minister life one to another, minister grace one to another. Doesn't stop. He goes on and says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, being filled with the Holy Spirit determines how I respond to you and how I respond to God. Determines how I speak to you and encourage you, but it also determines how I respond to the Lord. Listen. How many of us, now you don't have to, no hands now, no hands. But how many of us sing and make melody to the Lord? Come on now. Come on. See, because the scripture says that when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I will sing and make melody to the Lord. See, the Christian has a party all by themselves, not a worldly party, you know what I'm saying. They have fellowship and communion with God himself, all by themselves. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That my heart is meditating upon that which is right. In Psalm 104, verse 33 and 34, it says this way, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. As long as I'm alive, David, I'm going to sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Then he says this, may my meditation be sweet to him. May the things that I think about all the time, when I'm not saying anything to anybody, when I'm not with anybody, may my meditation be sweet to him. Come on, may the things that my heart rests upon, may the things that my heart linger around, may the things that my heart run after, may they minister to the Lord. May my heart make melody. May my heart sing. That's what I love so much about the old hymns. Because when people wrote hymns, there was no people sitting around to pay them $1,000 in royalties. That the people weren't motivated to write a song because it's going to be on the top 10, on the top 100, or a Dove Award, or this award. People wrote hymns out of the joy of their heart. They're singing and making melody to the Lord. And now we find we're singing their songs 500 years later. And we write songs, we write a chorus, and it's here today, gone tomorrow. Do you remember that song? No, don't remember that one. Who wrote it? What was it? You know, our songs, because we write these things that just, oh, love the Lord, Jesus. Next thing you know, no theology, no foundation, no nothing. I mean, it's just, and it's gone. But these people, filled with and inspired by the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, what will we do in response to the presence of Jesus this year? What will we do? John leapt. Elizabeth prophesied. Elizabeth prophesied. What are you and I going to do by being filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Man, I tell you what. I love getting up in people's house, get to talking. They say, sit down. Glory to God, if I don't have another job, I sit down. And we get to talking. And eventually, pray things get around to the Lord. So you can share Jesus with people. Because you know, none of these other things are going to matter. It's not going to change your life. Come on. We got to put first things first and keep it real. Okay, so that's dealing with John left. Real quickly, Elizabeth was filled. Let me read it. It says here that it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I like this, what the Holy Spirit had Luke to pen, because these words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says this, then she spoke with a loud voice. Now, I know some people don't like loud, especially when they're sleeping. But, you know, some people, it doesn't matter how loud it gets. They can sleep, too. You know, I'm not one of those. Amen. But it says, with a loud voice, she spoke to Elizabeth, or excuse me, spoke to Mary and said, blessed are you among women. Interesting that the Holy Spirit had him write down, she spoke with a loud voice. You know, the scripture has some things to say about that. You'll remember about how she said what she said. You'll remember that the scripture said about Jesus, it said that he was not like the scribes and the Pharisees when he taught, for he taught them as one having authority. You say, what on earth does that mean? Well, what does it mean to teach the one who has authority? Well, it's very simple. Do you know, you ever seen somebody very sure of what they know when they talk to you? Yes, it is. There's no doubt. There's no second guessing. There's no, I wonder if this might be the case. Oh, no. They are very sure about what they know. And Jesus spoke that way. Not only did Jesus speak that way, when Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit, how many of you know the Holy Spirit is not timid and he is not shy? And he definitely knows what he's talking about. And when you get filled with him, come on, listen, your praise won't be timid. Come on, what you have to say about him will not be shy, because he is who he is and he speaks the truth. So when Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit, she all of a sudden gets loud. I remember this happening. I didn't know. I had no idea. My family, we didn't know. We were just, see, we used to sing in the Baptist church before we were saved. Anybody been there? Come on. So we used to sing in the Baptist church, beams of heaven as I go. You know, beams of heaven. It's an old hymn. And so my mother would teach us the parts, and we would stand up there and sing, yes, Mom, sing, beams of heaven. We carried the harmony part just the way she taught us to. But something happened in September of 1983. You know, most of us, we got saved. And when we went to practice, we went to sing, and we were singing, and I bust out, whoa! And my mother said, hold on. See, you sing too loud. What's wrong with you? I said, Mama, see, I ain't singing the way I used to sing. See, because then I was just singing about somebody. Now I'm singing to somebody, and it done grab hold of my emotions. See, because when Jesus gets you, he gets all of you, right? He gets all of you. So I got loud, and she didn't know why. I didn't know why, but I figured out later was that he was tugging on my heartstrings. Amen? Let me run through a few scriptures. 2 Chronicles 15:14 says this. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice. They took an oath. They made a covenant. with the Lord, before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. In other words, the intensity of their voices matched the intensity of their oath. The intensity of their voices matched the intensity of their oath. I mean, come on, ladies. How would you like it if a man called you and he said this? I love you. I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. What do you think about that? You tell them, keep on trucking, huh? What? I mean, where's the passion? Come on, have some inflection, some tone inflections or something in your voice. Feel it, own it, put some soul in it. Hey, honey, girl, when I think about you, I mean, come on, right? You got to own that thing. It can't be, you know, it's just not monotone, quiet, and no, it just doesn't work in all cases. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Oh, by the way, when you do a word search on loud, do you know which book has the most references to loud in it? See, this is a perfect example of when you're not sure. See, because you say, you do like this.
Is it Exodus?
So this is an example. I'm not trying to crack on anybody. I'm just saying it's an example. When you're not sure, you say,
is it Ephesians?
Could it be Chronicles? But now, if you knew, you would stand up and say, and you would just belt it out. Am I right? Okay. So the book that has the most references to loud is the book of Revelation. Why did I say it loud? Because I'm so sure. I know. Why? I looked it up. Okay, so listen. I'm trying to get this point across. It's a minor point, but it's a point. Elizabeth said with a loud voice. Why did Elizabeth say with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb? Because she had a revelation from God concerning the truth about Mary and Jesus who was in her womb. That's why she spoke loud. Let me say this. God likes it loud. Huh? The book of Revelation is filled with, it was loud. And they all sang with a loud voice. If you have a problem with loud, you won't when you get to glory. Don't worry. That will fix itself. Praise in the scriptures is always represented as being loud. Huh? Always represented as being loud. Why? Well, the people were certain of what they were proclaiming about their God. They were certain about what they were proclaiming, and what they were proclaiming was true. They proclaimed it with a loud voice. Listen to what God said, what the Spirit of God had David write. Praise him, Psalm 50, come on. Praise him with loud cymbals. See, it don't mean, where are the sticks? Oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to go back. Now, see, in the world, in the world, we tumble around, tool around with stuff like this. The Bible says praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. And so when David instructs the band to praise the Lord, he says to do it loudly. Acts 14, 9 and 10. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. He didn't say, stand up on your feet. I think you might be healed. He didn't say that. He said, stand up on your feet. And the man leapt up. I mean, he didn't just struggle. He and started walking. Why did Paul do that? because Paul was sure through the power of the Holy Spirit that the man would be healed. And he spoke like it. So when you're not sure of something, you can be quite hesitant and reserved. Elizabeth was not hesitant, and she was not reserved. She said, blessed, I'm sure of this, blessed are you among women. And then she begins to prophesy. I mean, she's prophesying in this whole mode because Elizabeth, Mary hasn't even said, I'm pregnant. Come on now. She hasn't even said, I'm pregnant. She says, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And so now she's prophesying. And she says, and because of what you believe, she says, there's going to be a demonstration of what you believe God for. God's going to do what you've entrusted him for. She says, blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, it's fitting, only fitting, that that Elizabeth prophesied, because really the birth of Jesus was one of the greatest prophecies. I mean, there were so many prophecies made concerning Jesus, but two very well-known ones, which I'm going to mention in closing, is that the whole birth of Jesus was shrouded in prophecy. And so it only is fitting that Elizabeth prophesies even further. Let me read this quick. I pulled off of CBN's website. The Old Testament is the part of the Bible written before Jesus was born. Its writings were completed in 450 B.C. The Old Testament, written hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, contains over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled through his life, death, and resurrection. Mathematically speaking, the odds of anyone fulfilling this amount of prophecy are staggering. I would remove the word staggering, and I would just put, it's almost impossible, but we know that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Listen to what these stats say. The odds of one person fulfilling 8 of these prophecies. Now, Jesus fulfilled over 300. The odds of one person fulfilling 8 prophecies that were prophesied over 450 years ago is 1 in 100 quintillion, which would be the effect of 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Okay? The odds of one person fulfilling 48 prophecies is 10 to the 157th power, which they have a term for it, deci-octillion, I believe is the term, which is, that was only fulfilling 48 prophecies. Jesus fulfilled over 300. And the chances of that happening, well, there isn't math to even calculate something like that. Only Jesus could fulfill over 300 prophecies concerning himself. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 is quoted in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and it simply reads this, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So Jesus' parents, or Mary and Joseph, who were living in Nazareth, when Caesar Augustus said that all the world's to be taxed, they leave Nazareth, which is in Galilee. They go to Bethlehem to be registered to be taxed. And God had it orchestrated so that in Bethlehem, Christ would be born, even though he wasn't from there. He was actually lived in Nazareth, see? And so God orchestrated all of that so that Christ would be born in Bethlehem in order to fulfill the prophecy, and that's why Matthew said that this was written for this purpose. This prophecy that Micah gave was written some 700 to 735 years before Jesus was actually born. Then the second reference is Isaiah 7, and 14, which is mentioned in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, it reads this way: Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, Matthew points to this particular scripture in referencing the fulfilling of this prophecy. He says in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So these two prophecies were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. So John leapt for joy. Elizabeth prophesied by being filled with the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that our joy of the Lord, that our filling of the Spirit would increase this Christmas season so that we might do, be, and say what he would have us to. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet.